Thank you, Wade, for those prayers. And let me add my welcome to Wade's earlier. It's good to be together. It's good to be together. You know, this morning when I was running, the psalm came to me that I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Because this is where we need to be, in the house of the Lord, together. And the topic we're looking at today is welcome home. And some of you have seen this sign out front that Haley designed with basically welcome back, welcome home from all over the world. And we have been all over the world and we've come back, and there are many of us who are just coming back. Some of you are just new today. And so we welcome you here with us and we say welcome home. And we say welcome home to all of us who are here today. But we also know that it's not just kind of business as usual. When we were thinking of welcome back some months ago, we had a little bit different picture in mind. And the city which we call home, the city which we live in and love, is a city that's hurting. And so we hurt with it. And so with last night and the events of last night heavy on our minds, we come and we sing our faith. And thank you, band, for just ministering to us this morning as we could lift up, because that's what we do as Christians. We sing our faith, and I could feel the faith rising as we sang together. Shine is the launch today of our new children's ministry, and I was talking with Pri earlier and just saying there is no better day to launch Shine, right? Because this is the time where we need to shine. The light and love of Jesus needs to shine through each one of us, and this is the next generation that is rising up in the church. So this is a message from the kids to us as well, that when we gather, then we shine. But we gather filled with emotions. I was reading this last month, and a psychologist was talking about there's some 38 different emotions, that if we're emotionally fluent, we can name each of these 38 emotions. I don't think I'm emotionally fluent to name them, but I'm sure that we've all felt them together, right? We felt the anger, and we can name that pretty easy. We felt the sadness. We felt the shock. We felt the uncertainty of what to do. Now, as we go into 13 weeks, we also feel the psalmist, "How long? How long, O Lord?" Right? But in the midst of this, we cling to God. In the midst of this is our faith. This morning, I got the Sunday South China Morning Post and put it on my desk here, and it's not a pretty picture, as you can imagine, but as I put it on my desk, I just put the Bible on top of it, and then I felt God just saying, stop and think, because this is what we talk about, isn't it? We talk about that we read the paper at the same time as we're reading the Bible, and oftentimes we say that, and we think that when we're in good times, and we do it, but this is the time we really need to do it, right? This is the time of our faith. This is the time where we lean on God and lean into each other, and we know that God is with us. We worship a God who is Emmanuel, God with us. We know that our God is not only with us, but he's working in us and in our city. We know that he is speaking to us. And so we need to hear him. Because God's people have been in this situation before, many times before. And God has been with us. And God will be with us. And he will speak to us as we open our ears to hear him. So I believe he has a word for us today, a word for each one of us here. Thousands of years ago, the children of Israel, the children of God, were in a time of uncertainty where they were praying and longing for a word of hope and also for restoration and peace to come. And into that situation of exile, where they had been uprooted from their home and then taken to Babylon, and there living in an oppressed land, then the word of God came to them. And the word of God spoke a word of hope. And that's the word that we want to look at together today, is what God said to his people then, and maybe what he's saying to us today as we look at it. So we're going to look at the prophet Ezekiel, who spoke the word of God. You'll see it on your bulletins. We'll have it up here in a little bit. But before we get into it, I want to really just stop and have a time of prayer. And to just pray that God would speak to us. Thank you for being here. I know it was a hard journey for some of you just to get here today, but we are here together. So let's begin with a word of prayer and pray. Word of God, speak to us. So let's pray together. Let me invite you to do this. First, just pray for the person next to you. They may need a little extra prayer this morning. And just pray for them. Silently intercede for them. That God would speak words of love, words of hope into them. And then pray for the person on the other side of you as well. And then pray for me, that the words God has laid on my heart, I can share faithfully and from his heart to your heart. And then pray for yourself. God sees you. He loves you. He has a word for you. He has a word of hope for you, and that word will overflow into others this week. So just pray that the Holy Spirit would speak this morning. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you're here. We feel you here. And God, speak now to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, so this is the passage we're going to be looking at. And as we come together, we want to come with all of ourselves and to hear this. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to read this through. I'm going to invite you as we're going through this, and ushers may want to hand out pens. We're going to kind of mark this up if you want. Also turn to your whatever electronic Bible if you want that. But to really engage in this, and here's what I'm going to invite you to do. As I'm reading through it, what speaks to you? And then we're going to call out some of those things that God could be speaking to us through this passage. Ezekiel was one of the great prophets, along with Isaiah and along with Jeremiah, who was speaking hope into the people of Israel. And this is a word from God to the people. And so let's hear the word of God as he speaks. But you, O mountains of Israel, shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they will soon come home. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply people on you, the whole house of Israel, all of it, everyone. And the cities shall be inhabited and the waste places rebuilt. And I will multiply on you man and beast, and they shall multiply and they shall be fruitful. And I will cause you to be inhabited as in your former times, and will do more good to you than ever before. And then you will know that I am the Lord. Okay, this is the word of God speaking to us. One of the things we're talking about this morning is home. And so we can see right here, this area, that you know, soon come home, there's this word of hope. And we're going to look at what this means, this word of home, as a word of hope. But what else comes out to you as you look at this? What are some things that stand out to you as you hear this? What are some, what stands out to you? Just call it out. Hope. Yep, there's that word, that feeling, that sense of this is hope. Soon you're going to come home. Things will be restored. What else comes out? I have concern for you. Yeah. Which one verse is that in? Just all through here. Yeah, I have a concern for you. I am for you, it says there in verse 9, right? I'm for you. I'm for all of you. I am for you. You know, so often in these times, we can, as Pastor Wade was preaching last week, we can draw away from God. And this is the time to lean into God. This is the time to say, God is not against us. It's not against you. He is for us. Yeah, what else is here? Sorry, there was someone else yelling over there too. Yeah? Others? Yeah, Allison. It is very certain. Look at all these. I will turn to you. I will multiply people on you. I will multiply on you man and beast. He goes on, I will cause you to do, and I will do. Yeah, there's this certainty. So when we speak of the sovereignty of God, this is a certain word where God is saying, I'm in control. It doesn't look like it, because again, we know the rest of the story, right? We know that they did come home. But at this point, when they're hearing this word, they don't know that, right? At this point, when they're hearing it, they're in the how long phase. What else is in here? Multiplication. Yeah, there's this multiply. Multiply, and it's not just adding, but it's multiplying, right? And there's this word, he says, I shall multiply here, and I shall be fruitful. You shall be fruitful. What does that remind us of? Garden of Eden. This is the word of God saying, I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning where I made you in my image, all of you, and you shall be fruitful and multiply. This is a word of restoration. This is a word of restoring and a God who's a redeemer, right? We sing Jesus is our redeemer. There is a redeemer, Jesus Christ our Lord, and this is it. This is the time of redemption. What else is in here? The place will be rebuilt. Yeah, there is this, the waste places, the things, the ashes, as we sang about earlier, are going to be rebuilt. And there's this up here that you shall be tilled and sown, right? There's work to be done. There will be work to be done, and there is work to be done. And when this word was received in the middle, they began to prepare for the work to be done. And we as a church need to be preparing and doing that work of preparation now. Yeah, there will be rebuilt. There's work to be done. What else? Pretty soon we can pretty much underline every sentence, I think, in here. I'm resisting not to use all the colors because that's fun. Very therapeutic, but not. And so, yeah, anything else in this passage before we go on and look a little bit at home? Yeah. You see the last word here. God has the last word, the Lord. And he says here, you will know that I am the Lord. That's a powerful word for us today. That's something we can pray for. That in this time, this will be the time where years from now, people will say, it was in that summer of unrest that I came to know the Lord. It will be part of their testimony. He says, I'm doing this so that we will know the Lord. What else is in here? Anything else? This is great. You guys have already preached the sermon, so I can pretty much just sit down and go. But all right, you see what's happening here. And let me just say, this is a beautiful exercise for you to do during this time, is to take a passage of promise, passage from the Psalms, and then just begin to mark it up. Because in Romans 15, it says, the word was written so that you might have endurance and hope, that you might be encouraged. Pastor Wade spoke about encouragement last week. You know, when I encourage you, I literally inject courage into you. When I discourage you, I take it away, right? And this is the word of courage. One thought here. Did anyone find it strange that God is talking to mountains? Yeah. I mean, he says, but you, O mountains of Israel. And when I was first reading this, I was thinking, why is God speaking to mountains, right? Now, we know it's prophetic poetry, and so we kind of accept that. But I want us to think about the mountains because the land and the people were connected. When the land hurt, the people hurt, right? And when Hong Kong hurts, we hurt. We're connected, and God knows that. But there's something deeper about the mountains in the faith journey of Israel. Because it was at the mountains where they first heard the Lord. It was at Mount Sinai where God said, you shall be my people and I shall be your God. And they made a covenant, a marriage covenant together. It was at the mountain, the base of the mountain, where Moses experienced the burning bush and his individual call. It was at the mountain where Elijah went back. It's at the mountain where is the beginning of their faith journey. You know, in Celtic theology, they talk about thin places. And thin places are places on our earth where somehow you can hear God more easily. And they talk about mountains and they talk about rivers. The mountains were a thin place for the people of Israel. And as I was flying in about 10 days ago, it was right at before sunset, and I was flying in and I saw the mountains of Hong Kong. And I thought, I lift up my eyes to the hills, to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The mountains are a thin place, right? We look to the mountains and we know our help comes from the Lord. And I pray this, that our churches during this time would be thin places. There would be places where we can come and we can hear the word of God, where we can sense the word of God. All right, so let's look a little bit at this word home. And because basically this is a welcome home, and this is where Jesus is speaking through Ezekiel. God is speaking through Ezekiel, and he says, you're going to go home soon. So let's just do this. What does home mean for you? Take just a little moment, and I say the word home. What are some thoughts that come to mind? And we'll put them up here together. So what are some thoughts that come to mind? If I say the word home, what words come? Food. There you go. True Hong Konger. Food. There you go. Anyone else? Family. Yeah, there's family. Safety. Can you guys read this okay? Usually I say there's only two people that can read my handwriting, and I'm not one of them. So working on it. What else counts? Home. Love. Yeah. There's this deep love in the home. What else? Belonging. Yeah. There is a place where you belong. And we all need that, right? What else? Security, yeah. What else? What's that? Comfort? And was the other commitment? Oh, comfort. Yeah, okay. What else? Rest, yeah. You can breathe. You know, again, a prayer that when we come in here, we can experience rest, the rest of God. What else? Good, because these were all really nice, weren't they? We were all being good, but there's fighting, right? There's conflict in a home, or at least there is in my home. I'm not sure about your home, but fighting is part of a home. What else is in the home? Now that we've kind of broken open the door, thank you, Pastor Wade. What else? Chaos. Yeah. There's chaos in a home, right? There's this idea of it's really messy sometimes. What else? Yeah, it's this chaos. It's this messiness. Things are messy. And so we have all of these in our homes. This is what we think of as home. This is the longing for home. There is a longing for home in all of us. Ecclesiastes says that God has placed eternity into your hearts, right? And so as we're being walked home by Jesus, until we get to heaven, there's always going to be this longing for home. But Jesus himself said, on earth as it is in heaven. So what would home look like here in Hong Kong? What would a home be? So let's just go on a little bit and look again at this passage and to think about what a home would be. Because a home is all of these things. It's about belonging. It's about being loved. It's about being accepted. It's about being fed. And when I read this passage the first time, I read it and I thought two thoughts. The first thought was, why are we talking to mountains? Second thought was hearing God say, this is for the churches. This is for the churches. My house will be called the house of prayer. It will be a home, a refuge. And I believe this is a word also for the churches in Hong Kong. It's for us as well. And that this time would be a time of the gospel spreading forth. How many of you know Brené Brown and read some of her writing? She's a research professor from University of Houston. Highly recommend her to you. She's written like 5 New York Times bestselling books. I read hers on daring leadership over the summer. What I didn't know is she's kind of expanded. She does a lot of work in vulnerability and courage within leadership. What I didn't know is that now she really goes around the country and around the world, actually. She was not too long ago in Singapore. And to speak on to organizations, top one, like Fortune 100 companies, also speaking to the Bill Gates Foundation, also speaking to the Navy SEALs in terms of the special ops people, and speaking to schools. And in the book, as she was speaking to schools, she said, we need teachers to create a space for our students where the armor can come off. And I thought, that's home, right? Where the armor can come off. And she says, we can't expect the kids to take the armor off sometimes in their homes or even on the way to school. And I think this is a prophetic word for our schools as we restart in this time of year. But she said, this is a place where we can create for them where they can take the armor off. And as she said that, I also felt, this is for the church. This is what we're rebuilding. This is what we're building. A place, as we've said before, where you can come in here and it's okay to not be okay. Where you can come in here with however you come. Pastor Wade preached powerfully last week about the 3 shirts and the white shirt and the gray shirt and the black shirt. And yes, in this room we will have all of those, but we can come together at the foot of the cross in Jesus Christ. We need to spread that and let people know that they are welcome here. A place where when you come, you feel like you belong. A place where you come and you feel rest because you're resting in the arms of God. This is a vision for us, for the churches. And as we commit to Jesus in this, then I believe this will be part of where God is saying is come together and work together. Roll up whatever color shirt sleeves we have and begin to build this for me, because it will be tilled and it will be sown and it will be fruitful. This is a picture of Mom and Dad. And thank you for your prayers for them. As you know, when I went on holiday, Dad was still in the hospital. He had had a stroke and then he came out. This coming Tuesday, September 3rd, they will have been married 71 years. Yeah, think about that for a moment. It's like, 71 years, right? And what I love about this picture is they had been apart for about a month while Dad was in the hospital. This was right when they first saw each other again. And you can see the joy and the lighting up, right? But it was kind of a wild summer for us as a family too, and it was for Pastor Wade's family. But and our family, my brother, who we've prayed for in the past, who went through 3 emergency surgeries some years ago, and he was on the verge of death, and we prayed for him, and people around the world prayed for him, and he got well, and he got better, and God worked in him. But then he ended up with pneumonia and a complication from those surgeries while I was there. And while I was there in the hospital with him, he said this, which I felt was prophetic. He said, I really give thanks for Mom and Dad. And this is when Bruce is in a lot of pain. He said, I give thanks for Mom and Dad because 71 years ago, they committed to Jesus Christ. And they said, we're going to make Jesus Christ the center. And then through 4 kids, through 9 grandkids, through 11 some great grandkids, that generation upon generation has been blessed. That's what happens when we commit to Jesus Christ and we commit to him as a family, as a church family. Generations upon generations will be blessed. Now, don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. It's not like everything in our family has been fine, right? Our family's a lot like your family, the extended family. You know, we've had, obviously, illnesses, but we've had failures. We've had divorce. We've had breakdowns. We've had other things. But at the center of that has been Jesus Christ. And Mom and Dad have continued and through the generations to point to Jesus and say, trust in him at all times. They would be the first to say to you, it's not them. And don't get me wrong, I don't want you to go out and say, okay, live like Mom and Dad, or live like even other families, like Abraham's family was blessed. Not live like Abraham, because we can't do it. What we can do is we can rely on Jesus Christ. This is one of the family verses, to trust in him at all times. When we were in Nigeria, went through the Civil War, went through 3 coups, went through all of that, but trust in him at all times. And there's 2 words here that I want to kind of lift up for us. One is this word trust, because I have come to that again and again over the last 13 weeks. And the other is pour out your heart to God. Pour out your heart to God. For God is our refuge for us. And then there's this word, Selah, which just effectively means wait. So this is what we do. We rely on Jesus Christ. These are the times of our faith. We take the promises of Jesus and we pull them up. And I also want to say to anyone here who has not yet fully given their lives to Jesus Christ, this is the time. When we talk about welcome home, we will never feel fully at home until we are at home in Jesus Christ. And so even today, you can say, Jesus, I want to stake my generations upon you. And then there are people you know in this city who are in that situation, and they're struggling, want to make sense of it all. Welcome them home. And for all of us here, let me say just welcome home to build. That we need all of us to build this refuge, this home. One of God's homes in Hong Kong. That people will find him. They will feel the sense of being at home. And so we pray. We pour out our hearts before him. So we're going to do that now and invite the band to come up. And what I'd like to do is just spend a little bit of time praying. As Pastor Wade said, this re-service coming this Wednesday, we'll be praying for Hong Kong. Come. On Friday night, we're joining other churches at Methodist International Church, where we'll be praying there as well. That's part of a wider movement where churches in every district, every one of the 18 districts of Hong Kong will be gathering for prayer. Yes, we hear all types of hard things about churches and where churches are standing sometimes, but there is Jesus Christ's voice being put forward during this time, and we need to fan that into flame. So come join us in these prayers, but let's do it here now, because we're already here. So here's what I'd like to do is, maybe we can go back to the slide, or let's see, I'm not sure how we can do this, but to the Psalm 62:8, if we have that. If not, that's fine. It's on your bulletin. You'll see it at the front, that Psalm 62:8, that trust in the Lord at all times. So here's what I think we'll do. Just looking at the time here. Let's take some time of prayer right now. And if you feel comfortable, you can just turn to your neighbor or the people around you and maybe just pray a little bit. If you want to pray just by yourself, that's fine too. But we want to go into a time of prayer right now to pray for this, for the churches, to pray for this word of hope to come to us, to pray for our own hearts. You know, yesterday I felt most of the day just this knot of anxiety. It was there. And I felt that last night. And you can't say it's not there. It's there. And there are things in us that are there. And that's okay. It's okay to have those. And then we pour them out to God as we trust in Him. So let's just do that now. Maybe where you are, I'm going to invite you to just begin to pray, to pour out your hearts to God. Whatever is on your heart, He knows what's on your heart, and just pray that to Him. Pray that you would hear these words we underline together, that it is not you who has to do it. God again and again says, I will bring you home. I will make you fruitful and multiply. I am for you. I will overcome. And you will know that I am Lord. So maybe just take a moment and claim His Lordship. His Lordship over this city. His Lordship over your life. If there's any area in your life that's not fully committed, commit it. Give it to God now. These are the times of our faith. These are the times where He calls to us. This is the time where we stand. And then let Him minister to you. Where there's fear, let Him replace it with love. Where there's a sense of growing despair, let Him replace it with hope. Where there's a sense of not knowing what to do or what to say or even what to feel, give that to Him and hear Him saying, I'll take care of it. Rest in Me. Only trust and then obey when I tell you what to do. Rise in courage. Jesus, thank You. Thank You that You are faithful in all generations. So we lift our prayers. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Keep pouring out your hearts, O people, to Him and trust in Him. We're going to do this with a song of trust. And so let's do this. Let's stand. The band's going to lead us before we come to take our meal together. This is a song that God has been speaking to many of us through. There was about three different WhatsApp groups that I was on this week, and each one was saying, I heard this song, or we played this song, or someone else saying, I'm thinking about doing this song, and I believe God has been speaking to us. It's about a God who is called a waymaker. a God who can make a way. So let's stand as one, and as we sing this, it'll be a song of faith, a song of our trust in God.